Hello and welcome once again to another verse-by-verse Bible study. This ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we're the owners and operators of the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. You can find us in Church Hill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center, and we invite you to come by. Let us wash your car. This is how we earn the money to support this ministry. We never ask for any kind of tithes or charities or donations. We are a self-supported ministry, and we do this because we want to settle the Word of God and not peddle it. So it is our mission and our goal to work hard. We wash your car. We do it at a fair price. We do a very good job. We have lots of good reviews, a lot of good feedback, and it's the only hand car wash in the area. But even if it wasn't, I think you'd find us to be the best. So we ask you to come by the Wash and Word. Hey, and while you're there, turn to 107.1 FM. We have a radio transmitter. Wash and Word Radio transmits about the area of the parking lot. It goes out there to the library and over to the Church Hill Fitness Center and, you know, pretty much anywhere in the parking lot. And what you do is you turn to 107.1 FM and you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we have five sermons that we play on WMCH 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday. So at 8:30 in the morning, we have a 15-minute message, verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And the next day, we do another verse-by-verse. We pick up where we left off. And this way, we go through the entire Word of God. This gives us all of God's counsel, which is the way it was designed to be. We weren't meant to cherry-pick the Word of God and just bring forth the stuff that makes you feel good. No, we want to hear all of what God has for us. And so we take these five messages that we play on WMCH at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday, and we put them on a loop, and they play again 24/7. All you gotta do is come into the parking lot, turn to 107.1 FM, and you can hear Bible, verse-by-verse Bible teaching any time of the day, any day of the week. And we did this because we wanted God's Word to get out there in a way that's not traditional. In other words, outside of the four walls of the church. And so that in a nutshell is how this ministry was birthed. If you have any questions or you want to get some archived messages, you want to listen to a couple of them to kind of catch up where we are, go to washandword.com. That's our website. You can find out anything you want about the business or the ministry. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can download and listen to for free any of our archived messages. So we're going to go ahead and pick it up in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you've been following along, we've been studying this letter that Paul has written to the church in Corinth, and this was a church that was in a lot of trouble. They had reverted back to their old ways in a lot of ways. And, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, as we've been going through this letter, and again, go to washandword.com to listen to archive messages. But, as you're going through this letter, if you're honest, you probably see some of yourself in some of the stuff that we've already discussed. And this is what Paul is dealing with. He's dealing with that church, but this letter, that's why it made it into the canon of Scripture, is so pertinent today to us as believers. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to pick it up in verse 3 where we left off. In verse 1 and 2, Paul talked about his right as an apostle to be able to say the things that he's saying. And not only did he have a right to say and rebuke and correct, but even that right that he had was subject to be given up, not removed. He had a right as a sacrificial human being for the sake of the gospel. He had a right to a lot of things. He had a right to be supported. He had a right to being taken care of monetarily. He had a right to places to live. He had a right to teach. He had all these rights, but he was saying that though I have these rights, if I have to give up these rights for the sake of an unbeliever and draw them closer, he would do that. And that's what we're looking at today. Verse 3 says, "This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living?" Well, let's stop right there, because this is, you know, at first read, it sounds like Paul has a little whiny pity party going on here, but it is anything but that. What he's doing is he's actually touching on a subject that has come up many times over the ministry of the church. And in fact, if I'm honest, I would say it has become a problem. in the church as a whole, by and large. And that subject, or that question is, should a minister or a pastor or a preacher or teacher be paid by the congregation? Now, this question is often most refuted by the unbelieving world. Oftentimes we hear them, with their follow-up questions. Oh, you only work 1 or 2 days a week, and they're like, you're like a parasitic leech living off of the begging of money of others. And you know what? Let me just say something for a second. First of all, that was me blowing raspberries. No pastor or preacher or teacher works 2 days a week, okay? They preach 2 days a week, maybe, or one or two or maybe more, but they work all week long. Listen, caring for the needs of families and of congregations and of church buildings, it's a full-time job. In fact, that's why in the Old Testament they laid down the law long ago for the priests, the Levite priests, to be taken care of by the Israelites, because their job was to take care of the spiritual ministerial needs of the camp of Israel, and then they were supposed to be cared for in return by Israel themselves. And so Paul declares his apostolic right to be cared for by the flock. Notice, though, that what he says food, drink, and familial care. He says, do I not have the right to not work? These are the basic things he's looking for. He's saying, look, if I come and I give up all of my gifting and my time and my effort, my life, for the sake of you, he says, all we are asking for in return is food for our bellies, a drink for our throats, and care for our families. I don't think that's a lot to ask for if you are gifted with the gift of pastoral or shepherding or teaching, and those whom you're ministering to support you in these great areas. And yes, I understand there have been wolves in sheep's clothing who have come to fleece the flock, and they have abused that right. Even good-hearted Christians who just grew up with a wrong mentality about what a pastor's role is supposed to be, they may not be wolves in sheep's clothing, but their idea of money and being a pastor or preacher or teacher has gotten askew along the way. And anyone who thinks that a pastor's only work 1 or 2 days a week or a couple hours each day really needs to rethink their mentality in that regards. I think that if anybody who has that kind of mentality were to get in the position of church leadership for even just a few months, I think they would change their tune. Because you see, even besides all of the pastoral duties of ministering to families and people and taking care of the church, remember, those who are in that position are on the devil's priority list. In other words, they are constantly being attacked because the devil wants to tear down from the head every single church that believes and follows the commands of Christ. Jesus quoted Zechariah 13:7, says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Oftentimes, the shepherds have sleepless nights as they ponder the things going on within the body of believers that have gathered under them. Oftentimes, they have to suffer the judgment of other people. There's dissension in the church and amongst them and even amongst their own families. There's solicitations and trying to discern who's really in need of help and who's just trying to fleece the church. There's counselings. Listen, they say don't judge a person until you've walked a mile in their shoes. And of course, the add-on to that is this way you have their shoes and you're a mile away from them. But I don't think that's what the original adage was meant to be. But one of the advantages to what Paul is talking about here, if you are being cared for or supported by the flock, you should be and can be devoted 100% to the ministry. But we'll We'll talk about that a little bit more here as we go through this letter. Paul says, verse 7, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat the grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? So he's just basically backing up the theory that, yes, it's okay for pastors and preachers to be supported by the ministry. Not only does custom and culture support his argument, but Paul has the very law of Moses on his side. He continues in verse 8, do I say this merely from a human point of view? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out in the grain. Is this about oxen that God is concerned? So what is Paul saying here? Hands down, I will say this. Paul is probably one of the most sarcastic authors in all of the Bible. I love the way he interjects these sarcastic tones, if you can read between the lines, as he's talking about the various subjects in the letters that he writes. He says that, do I say this from a human point of view? He's saying, is that why God said that? He said it because he cares about oxen. Is that why God laid down the law? I mean, it's almost like he's challenging them in a way, you know, does God even care about oxen? Well, we know he cares about all of his creation, but he's saying God didn't make that law that says to not muzzle the oxen for the sake of the oxen. He did it for the sake of the people, to give us an example of what we're supposed to be doing when it comes to taking care of one another or taking care of one who takes care of us. Now, again, the scripture we just read was written for the safety and for the sake of the animals in Israel. You know, God knew that if the Israelites abused their animals, they would end up starving eventually. And so this scripture was originally, you know, written for that reason, but ultimately, those animals do what? They serve the people. So by taking care of the animals, you're taking care of the people. And God was always concerned more about people than he was about animals. So taking care of the animals in a way is also a way of taking care of his people. Now I'm going to take a second to talk about something that's going to probably rub some people wrong. It's probably going to make me sound a little harsh, but I want to talk to you a minute about this whole green movement we have going on. I want to talk a little bit about animal rights and PETA, as it were. I think it stands for people eating tasty animals. I'm not sure. But what I want to talk about here is that I'm all for taking care of the earth. Okay. I think if you ask most Christians, they'll say the same thing. We're supposed to. In fact, if we go back to the very first command God ever laid out, it was for Adam to tend the garden. We were meant to care for the land, that the land would care for us. And God cares about the environment. God cares about animals because he created them. And so we also must care for the same things, the animals and the earth itself. But 2 Peter 3:10 puts it in perspective, says, the day of the Lord is like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. You know, that's what's going to happen to this earth one day. And it's okay to have environmentalists and take care of the earth and do everything we can to provide, to protect this earth for the sake of future generations. The problem is it's become a god to a lot of people. It's become a god to our culture. And it's like building a sandcastle where you know the tide is going to come. You won't be able to preserve that sandcastle because when high tide comes, it's going to destroy it. So we put effort into taking care of the earth and taking care of the animals, yes, but never to the point where it becomes something that governs and rules people over the way God was meant to govern and rule people. And so that's just the way I wanted to look at that. I'm green in a lot of ways, but I will never let the green movement become greater in my life than having a Lord be that number one. Does that make sense? So we'll get back to the scripture Paul's talking about here. He'll defend this argument even a little bit more. But I want to invite you to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road. We meet there Sunday mornings at 10 for Sunday school and then 11 o'clock for service. They have a 7 o'clock service, and I preach on Sunday nights at 6 p.m., verse-by-verse Bible teaching. That's Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. I hope to see you there. Come on by the Washing Word. Tell us hi. We'd love to talk to you. Have a blessed day.